you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's raising the vibration on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. Please join us at liveparanormal.com. And all of our affiliates, iHeartRadio.com, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM. There are more and more and more, and soon I will memorize them all for you. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. I'm a 27-year talk radio host in Los Angeles. In 4 days, I get to say I'm a 28-year talk radio host in Los Angeles. I'm a performing artist, and this show was created as an outreach for a nonprofit movement of peace and love and kindness and unity that I founded in 2016 after my mama's passing, to sort of carry on her teachings, both spiritual and humane. And if peace and love and kindness and unity are the cornerstone words of raisingthevibration.org, then the cornerstone words of this particular show are ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. So basically, what are you doing to raise your own personal vibration? How is that adding to your overall spiritual evolvement? And then how are you taking those two wonderful things that you're amassing in your life and using them to inspire others to get into the same place where you are? To in essence, send the elevator down and bring people up with you. And then lastly, how much love are you throwing into the world? Because love is all there is, and love is all that matters. And every week on the show, I gather people that I love and adore that really understand words like passion and service and are interested in talking about, amongst other things, what are you doing to make the world a better place? My guest today is a psychic medium and a healer and a teacher and really needs no introduction. She is the wonderful Echo Bodine. How are you, my friend? It's good to hear your voice.
Gosh, Sheena, I love being here with you. I'm doing good, honey. We got a little heat wave going on here in Minneapolis.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, girl. Yeah, the heat index is 109. Yes.
Wow.
So I just...
Okay.
Oh, my God. So why am I telling you this? I don't know. You know, Minnesotans, we talk about the weather all the time. So, of course, I have to tell you.
It's a hot world, right? I finally gave the San Fernando Valley a little bit of a pause and moved back to the beach. Actually, to the home I grew up in, I now work from my mom's desk, which is so powerful. And somewhere there's my desk at the house in Sherman Oaks saying, what about me? And I love my desk, but there's something about the energy of being at my mom's desk that is so amazing.
Yeah.
And such a reminder of all the wonderful spiritual work that she did. But here it's like we complain if it's like, oh, God, it's 74. We're so hot. You know, but the humidity will kill you. But the Midwest too, right?
Yeah, the humidity is awful. Mm-hmm. Yep. But we're all hanging in there.
Yay!
So, honey, how are you? I want to know about you.
I'm fantastic. Things are good. I kind of came out of the spiritual closet with my gifts, and I like to say now I just wear my underwear on the outside. And I'm really doing what I can in this crazy time, as I know you are too,
yes,
to heal
yes.
as many souls as possible, right? Because that's what it's all about.
Yes, 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 yes. That is what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
And how did you fare through the pandemic? Because obviously we were very needed, right? So we were called and worked a lot during that time because people needed
mm-hmm.
us. But it's also hard when you feel everybody's stuff. It's very difficult
yep.
sometimes to be in a time like that where we weren't only mm-hmm. in a global pandemic, but but also in a very bizarre, what I like to call an astrological crisis at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that continues now, right? This last 3 or 4 months has just been an astronomical shit show. And so how do you protect yourself so that you're out there on the front lines doing the work, but you're also not allowing it to penetrate you so you can stay strong to continue to do the work?
Well, isn't that just a million-dollar question? excuse me. Gosh, honey, what is the answer to that question? You know, I did find that when the pandemic was going on, I really liked it because I was in my house. I was not in front of crowds of people. I didn't feel pulled on by people. I think everybody was just kind of stunned, and we were all going through it a day at a time. Nobody really knew what was going on, when it was going to be over. And I don't know. You know, honestly, I look back at that time in fondness because the bummer was that I had to close my teaching center. But you know what, Sheena? In closing it, I realized how burned out I was because I thought I was doing fine, but I got COVID right in the beginning and was in the hospital twice. God, honey, got really, really sick. And it was after that when I came home from the hospital the second time, I said, that's it. I'm taking a break. I'm not going to answer these emails. I'm just going to tell people I need to be left alone and I need to heal. And so people did. They left me alone. And it was actually a very nice time of just going within, reading a lot. I sewed a lot. I built gardens around my house. It was a very healing time for me. And I think it was for other people, too. You know, it is mm-hmm. interesting now to kind of come out of it, even though, I don't know. You know, I saw somebody the other day with a mask on, and it was so strange, almost like, why is that person wearing a mask? And then my next thought was, oh, that's right. We just went through all that. So,
Right, and are still going through it, right? I mean, they almost reinstated masks here in Los Angeles because our numbers were climbing again. It's a process getting out of this. It's going to be a process, and I don't think the world ever going to go back to the way it was before. I think a lot of people are going to work at home from now on. I think businesses have realized, like, wow, we can save a lot of money if we don't have to pay for an office and the coffee maker.
Yep.
And I think that's
a
good thing for people. I think a lot of people are going to be doing their things either solely on Zoom or a Zoom platform mm-hmm. or Zoom Plus, right? Like a Zoom in person and also Zoom. I don't think that Zoom is good, which is great because in everything you do, every workshop you teach, it incorporates an international audience, which is fantastic. I just don't think we're going to go back to the same way that it was.
No, I completely agree. So many people, I saw a bunch of people this weekend at an event, and so many people asked me, well, when are you going to open up the center again? And I thought, oh, my God, no way, because I love Zoom. I mean, you're right, honey. I mean, we can have people on Zoom from all over the world. And I love it. It's so nice to just stay in your home and be able to teach on Zoom and meet lots of people from all over the place. So I agree. I mean, everybody I know that is, they're now working out of their homes, people that used to go to offices. So everybody's pretty happy about it, really. I know some people are saying, God, they're dreading it. You know, they're hoping their boss doesn't say, okay, let's all go back to the office. So, yeah, I totally agree with you. I don't think it's ever, you know, people keep saying, when are we going to get back to normal? Well, we're not going to get back to that. We're not going backwards. We're moving forward. And now we just have to figure out what that is. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. And where we are and where we stand and how we feel. A lot of people change careers. A lot of people moved out of state into different places. Mm-hmm. A lot of people went home.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were forced to sort of clean their closets ethereally and literally because
yes.
they had so much time on their hands, they couldn't avoid it.
Yes.
A lot of issues that I think, I talk in my teaching about the difference between moving past something and moving through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we mm-hmm. often stayed so busy that we just moved past things, but we didn't actually
yes.
move through them, so we didn't really process them. Then suddenly
yes.
you're, you know, sitting on your bed with Netflix for 2 years, and all this stuff starts coming up. There's no place to escape. And I think we've had
you
to move through
right.
a lot of our issues. Right?
God, girl.
I think we've had to move through a lot of our issues because
yes.
Yes. there was no other choice, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah. So, honey,
yes.
really, I
so
see
I
it as a blessing. I do. I look at it
I
as
do.
A blessing.
I do 100%. I'm
yeah.
not allowed to say that because a lot of people die.
Yeah.
And people, I remember
I know.
When I first started, I had an interfaith church service once a month. And people, when we were really in the midst of it and people were wanting to talk about the spiritual ramifications of it, and
yeah.
I still to this day say that I believe the spiritual ramification is that COVID put us in a place where all of us had to experience the same thing at the same time, right? There was no race, gender, spirituality, region. COVID came for everybody, irregardless of who you were.
Yes.
And it made us see the one that really reinforced what Spirit is always hammering with me, which is the idea of one human family. But when I would talk
yeah.
about that, people would get upset because they're like, well, what about the people that died? How dare you say there was some good in it? But everything in the world that is a bad, you have to look for the lesson in it and you have to look for the good, right?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Honey, I can't say that enough times to people. And, you know, okay, the people that died, you know what? They're done. They were done with Earth. They went
exactly.
back home.
Exactly. They're home.
So,
yeah.
You
we're
know,
upset about it, but they're not. That's the thing people don't seem to get is that when people like always want to book sessions with me and they're like, oh, is grandma sad that she's dead? I'm like, honey, grandma's happy as can be. You're sad
yeah.
that she's dead.
Yes. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Death is not a sad thing for the people that have died. It's those of us that are left behind, or that's how we think about
yes.
it. But God, really, a
yes.
lot of people, you know, all the conversations about, oh, they were so old and, oh, they got sick. Well, okay. Well, all right. So COVID helped them release from the body and move back home. And look at how lucky they are. But people, oh, God. I mean, Sheena, you and I both know people do not look at it like that. Oh, my God, that's a terrible thing to say. Is, you know, they
no,
were lucky
we
and they
got
home.
We have such a hard time letting go. It's a strange
yeah.
thing that we do as people. We don't.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an interesting story, and I've told this before, but I'm going to tell it because you're here. When my mom was dying, and we were so close that I thought for a long time, like, I would die when she died because I just didn't understand why, what would the purpose of me being here be once she was no longer here?
Yeah.
And when we had already put her, I was the only relative, we is me and a nurse, had already put her in palliative care.
Okay.
And she was had the Merced and was waiting for them to get the morphine up from the pharmacy. So she was out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding her hand and telling her how wonderful she was. And all of a sudden I felt this feeling. And I can only describe it as when you unlace an ice skate from both sides. And I started to panic because I started to feel this unlacing feeling. And then I realized, letting me go.
It
was the most wonderful thing she could have done for me because, you know, two things happen. And I think first is very common. Once I saw her soul shoot out of her solar plexus, there was, you know, the body didn't even feel like anything to me. I didn't seem to have any connection to it. It didn't
yeah.
even look like her. It's strange how once the soul is gone, it's really not the person anymore. It's just a hut.
I know,
and,
honey.
The second thing was that I didn't grieve the way that I thought I would. Now, I mean, I've been grieving for 6 years. I definitely grieve. But this feeling that people have, they want to throw themselves in the grave, or I can't eat for 6 months. I mean, I literally went home, oddly enough, because this is the story of my life, went home, found out my dog was dying, and she died 4 hours later. And then, but you know, animals, they don't want you to grieve for them. They unlace, too, because they know how to do it right, animals. We're the only ones that seem to be challenged. I did my radio show that day and did a tribute to her, and friends of mine called in from junior high and everywhere. And this was 6 years ago, so I was almost 49 when she died. I did two plays the month afterwards. I produced a play. I did a big birthday celebration because it was 2 weeks before my birthday. I didn't cancel anything because I knew she wouldn't want that. But I was functional. I was a little numb, but I was functioning. And I really believe it's because she let me go. And I think that we all knew to do that, right? If you're dying, let your loved ones go with love as you go. If you're a living person, let that person go. You never have to let their soul go. You never have to let their spirit go. But I see this a lot when I do chakra cleanses, and you probably do too, that, you know, in your solar plexus chakra, right, where you have a connection to living beings. After someone dies, people are still hanging on to that tie. They're trying to have a tie with a living person, but the person's no longer alive.
Yes.
And they're feeling all this misery. And you really have to cut that tie and then reconnect it the way that you do with someone who is now in spirit. So I think if we just didn't try to make people who have passed be alive and loved and accepted them for where they were, we'd have a lot less pain.
I agree. I totally agree. But it's easier said than done.
Right.
People have such a hard time with death. Oh, boy. But, honey, you know what? Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. When my mom died, I thought the same thing. I thought, well, I can't go on without my mom. I mean, I used to think if she dies, it was never when. It was if she dies, well, then I want to go, too, because I can't function without her. Well, and I'm just like you, honey. Okay. She died. Wow. And I continued to live, you know, and even just the other day, I thought, wow, mom's been gone a long time, and I didn't think I could do this. And I don't know. Maybe part of it is just the way we think about death that makes it easier. Because it just like you said, honey, I didn't throw myself on the coffin. I didn't go, oh, my God. You know, it was, wow. I mean, it felt like a celebration. We had an open casket.
Yeah.
We had her hair in pigtails, and she had all of her pink clothes on, and, you know, it was just sweet, and, yeah, you're right. It was life-giving.
Yeah. But I think that's what they want when they pass, and I didn't only, like, survive, I thrived, because I now had her in spirit in my corner to help me in ways that she couldn't even do when she was alive, and she was a hella powerful person, but you're never as powerful as when you're in spirit. We're so limited here, right?
Yes.
I think if we tried to think about that, like you said, about people we lost during COVID, that them being happy and home and not something to just have despair over.
Right. Yes. I mean, be happy for them that they got to go. And I don't know. I mean, they were so many older people died. But really, I mean, what was next for them? It was simply time to go. So I think.
Yeah.
I just think it was really cool that the whole world was going through the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
We've never had a situation like that, at least not in my lifetime, where the whole world is going through the same thing. That was pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I agree. Yeah. Well, but one human family, right? We couldn't say, I always say even World War II didn't touch some places of the planet, but COVID
right.
touched everywhere.
Yes.
So
it did.
People
and
working
honey, we
at, a,
on-
at a research station in Antarctica were wearing masks because of COVID. I mean, there was
yes.
nowhere you could have been that you weren't affected by it. So that
That's
made
right.
us realize that our common enemies are, you know, global warming and disease and famine
yes.
and these
mm-hmm.
are destroying our planet with too much technology. These are our enemies. Our enemies are not each other. And I don't know that we got a lot of divisiveness in the world, but hopefully it started people thinking in the back of their mind that just because
yeah.
someone's different doesn't mean they're your enemy.
Yeah, you're right. But, honey, then add all the, I'm going to say BS, around the election. I mean, throw that in on top of COVID. It was insane. It was, oh, my God, we went through hell. So
yes, yes,
we're surviving. We're
yeah.
surviving. Yeah,
we're here, right? And that's the most important
yes,
thing.
We yes, we are.
It's exciting. So what for? Right, like right now, today on our show, literally, what is the most exciting and rewarding thing about the work you're doing? What's really lighting your fire right now?
Oh boy. What is lighting my fire? You know, my most recent book today in the stores, and Chip Coffey, as you saw, honey, Chip Coffey wrote the foreword.
Oh, I love that.
I know, honey. It was so sweet. And the book, you know, that's what I'm excited about right now because it's really going to help people deal with death. I mean, look at death, talk about death. And the book is based on, okay, so of all the ghost-busting jobs I've done over the last 30 years, whenever we went into a home that was haunted, and I'm saying we, I'm talking about my brother and I, we would go from room to room, look for a ghost. Ghost looks just like a person. And we would walk up to the ghost and just say, you know, what's your name and why are you here? And the book is based on the six main reasons that ghosts told us remaining earthbound. And
okay,
you know, honey, they're the answers are very logical, very practical answers. But the thing I'm excited about is that it's getting people to talk about death. And, you know, I talk in there about the angels that I have worked with have always said to me, tell people to heal their stuff now before they die. Don't take their wounds home with them. Deal with their wounds here. And,
yeah,
you know, ghosts are such a good example of souls who didn't take care of business, have a lot of wounds, and they're too afraid to move on to the other side for one reason or another. So that's what I'm excited about, is opening up the conversation about death and why these folks. Okay, first of all, I just want to have the conversation with people that ghosts are people. They're people. They're not these demonic, horrible monsters who want us to believe. They are the soul of someone who has died and is saying, no, I don't want to go to the other side. And just that alone it's been good because it's been getting a lot of conversations going that I don't think would have taken place before. So that's what I'm
right.
excited
well,
about.
Well, don't you think they fear that They fear that, I don't want to say judgment, because that sounds so Judeo-Christian, and I don't necessarily believe in judgment. But I do, as it's been explained to me, believe that when you pass, everybody goes through an evaluation period, right? Which isn't a bad thing. It's just a, hey, here's how it was this time, and here's what we think. And it's either like rah-rah or wow, not so great, or rah-rah and not so great, which is probably most of our lives. Then you kind of get, I say, like, released to the general population, where you do whatever it is you do at home, and we all have a job we do there as well that we go back to, right? Until it's time to come back and learn some more lessons. I think folks that fear that because they're worried they're going to get rapped on the knuckles, and they fear that evaluation period if they haven't yet really learned any of their lessons, or maybe if they have acted in a negative way, they fear that, so they put it off and put it off and put it off by staying here, you know?
But, you know, honey, one thing I have learned is that because I've been under the impression for a long time that as soon as we die, shortly after we die, we do our life review. But I've been finding out from friends in the last year who have died that, no, they don't do it right away because they need clarity first. And first they have to, clear themselves of layers of Earth's energy, and it's very interesting. It's like, one of my students said one day that her mom had died that morning, and she said she's probably taking her life review this afternoon, and my guide started laughing and said to me, are you kidding? And I said, what? And they said, no, the soul needs clarity first. You can't, they're still too embroiled in their physical life to dive into it. They need to step away from it for a little bit so they can be more clear about it. Well, okay, the thing, Tina, the number one reason that we have heard from these ghosts, I can't even tell you how many times we've heard it, they are afraid if they go to heaven, they're going to get sent to hell. That's the number one reason why these ghosts tell us they're not going to go to the other side. Nope, not going to go. And they actually believe, if they hang out in this tanning parlor, or they hang out in that treatment center, or they hang out in that person's garage, that they say to us, God can't find me if I'm hiding here on Earth. So I'm going to stay here. And we say to them, really, you're gonna stay in this person's garage now till eternity? Yes.
Right.
It's like, oh, my God. And then, you know, the other, so there's six main reasons. Another one of them that I ran into a lot was folks who don't believe in life after death. So their physical body dies. They think nothing is going to happen. They think body goes in the ground, it's all over, that's it. But their soul comes out of their body at the time of death, and they're like, whoa, what's going on? I don't understand this. And angels, deceased loved ones come to talk to them to say, you know, there is a heaven, come with me, I'll take you over there. No. They don't believe it. They think they're hallucinating. They think they're making stuff up. They think... we've had some of them ask us if we work for Satan, and are we trying to recruit people? You know what, honey? I really, as I was putting all the pieces to the book together, I realized it's all based on our belief systems. And so if our grandparents believed something and they told our parents that, and then our parents taught that to us, we have to examine, you know, what do we believe about life after death? And is there a heaven? And is there a hell? And do we really think that there is a place where we go and burn until eternity? I mean, Sheena, think about it. How many times can you actually burn? I mean, that makes no sense to me, to go hang out in some place.
Right.
I mean, let's get real. And so,
but don't you think so that people think because of the upbringings of some indoctrined religions, right?
Yes.
People think all very negative, that God is like your abusive father who's always pissed off and always looking for, always going to get the belt. You're going to get the belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have clients say to me all the time, why does God hate me so much?
Yes.
And,
you know,
and then also I think human beings can be, and I say this with love, human beings can be inherently lazy. And so they think having to learn a lesson or having to do some kind of work is some kind of sign that God hates you and it's punishment. But work should feel good, just like people are like, why do I have to get a job? My life sucks, you know?
Yeah.
So they have this fear of judgment that has been put on them. And I get it, because if you read a lot of indoctrined religious books, there's a lot of judgment.
Right.
But then again, I don't like to say there's never judgment, because the universe is, my mom called it upsetting the order of the balance of the universe. She's called upsetting the balance of the universe. There is a definite balance to the universe. And if you do something to upset that, if you think you're going to throw kittens in a sack and throw them in the river, and when you get home, God's going to be like, oh, that's okay. You went to church. think again. So, you know what I mean? So there are ways where, you know, we are in school here. We're in soul school. And we are going to be held accountable for our malarkey in the same way that you would on the earth if you did something.
Yes. Totally agree, honey. Yep.
The only difference is on the earth, you got to get caught. Spirit knows all. So you don't have to. You're already caught. But I think people focus on very, you know, earthbound things like, well, maybe I shouldn't be, you know, is something wrong with my, is it okay to be gay, or does God hate me because I'm in an interracial marriage, or I had an abortion? Like, they're all focused on these very earthbound things and not on the more conceptual concepts like, wow, what about friends to other people?
Good grief. Okay. Are you still there?
Yeah. Did the answer machine get you?
How annoying. I have a...
I'm just excited because I now know someone who has a landline.
I do have a landline. Honey, I was told to get a landline for the interviews for the book, so I went out and got a landline. Yeah.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's fantastic.
And... yeah, I know.
It's kind of that old school fear of the cell phone, which I think actually has wonderful coverage now. It's not like it used to be in the 90s when you took your life in your hands during an interview on a cell phone.
Yep. That's true. Oh, God. Yes, that's true. Sorry for all the noise.
No, we're at it. We're all good here.
Okay.
So what are you finding particularly challenging about being a spiritual healer in the summer of 2022?
You know what I find challenging is a lot of people want readings. They want to know about their future. And you know what, honey? My guides are saying, can I answer people's questions about the future? It's an odd feeling, almost like, how do I want to say this? Like it's up to people. Like, well, what are you going to create for your future? Instead of sitting back and wondering what God has in store for you. No, it's like people have to realize the whole thing of manifesting and what are their thoughts creating. And it's an interesting time again. I mean, we could say that for the last few years.
I agree with you. And it's funny because I think so many people have been conditioned, and I'm going to say this, and I say this with love, Echo. So many people have been conditioned by psychic hotlines that you call or by the people who have the neon hand in their window. Which is, I always kind of want to, because it's cool, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But if you, that you come and you ask the question about the future, and that clients will ask me something and then they'll come back to me 2 years later and they'll say, but you said, and I'm like, yeah, but you got to understand, when I told you that, you said you were going to do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. You didn't do any of those things. What you did was, you know, you said everything was going to, my best friend and I were going to make up. Yeah, but I didn't ask you to send her 100 emails, call her a bitch, and tell her never to talk to you again. You have to understand, people have to understand the element of free will, right? You can screw up your own future, or you can make it better. And I always refer people to Nostradamus, right? Nostradamus, who was such a brilliant oracle, saw the two different futures. He saw us in the garden, and he saw us blowing each other up. He saw the mushroom cloud. And he said, it will be up to people to decide how it ends. So you decide whether or not you blow up your own life or you turn it into a garden. It's
right
up to you. And I think people don't want to accept their responsibility in it.
No, they don't.
It's interesting because it's interesting because my girlfriend is a therapist, and I see the difference in people that go to therapists and people that come to us. Even though in essence what we do is very similar. And I think that when people go to therapists, they've been taught by society, you go to a therapist to do the work. I think people sometimes come to us because they want to skip the work and just pick up the answers.
Yeah, I agree.
But there really is no skipping the work because spirit doesn't allow you to skip the work, right?
That's right. But then again, you know, a lot of people still skip it, and then they go on to the other side, and they carry all that with them. That's the other thing I've seen is so many, you know, like this angel that works with me, her name is Lily, and she's just the sweetest lady, and she says, heaven is full of wounded souls. And she says, Echo, tell people to heal their wounds before they come back home. Why bring all that stuff with them? And, you know, the other day, somebody had said something about, I can't remember how or what brought this up, but imagine, okay, you graduate from high school, now you go off to college. So you go off to college for 4 years, and you stuff all of your garbage in a big black garbage bag, and then you go back home. So do you really want to take all that garbage back home with you? No. So deal with it at the time it comes up. Get rid of it at the time it happens. And that's one thing that a lot of people, God, I remember a really good friend of mine, she found out she had lung cancer. And I said, you know, is there a lot of emotional pain in you? And she said, oh, my God, yes. But she said, I would rather die than talk about it with anybody. So I didn't say it, but I thought, well, that's exactly what's going to happen because she refused. She refused to go to therapy, refused to talk about it. She just said she had a horrible childhood, and she said, it's in the past, so I'm going to leave it in the past. Well, no, it doesn't stay in the past, as you and I both know. So unfortunately... Yeah. When these people die, they take it home with them, and that's just so sad.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I agree, and I think, and for the living as well, right? Like, my favorite novel in the whole giant world is A Christmas Carol, and it's because, to me, it has every single thing in it that you need if you just find the lessons in it. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
For as short as it is, it has everything. And, you know, the main lesson of it is, it's never too late to start again.
I agree.
You can start over. My mama used to say, you can't change the past, but you can change how you live every day. And it's true. You can change how you live every day. Deal with it now. Don't be bogged down by dragging your chains around in the middle of the night, moaning and wailing. And that doesn't mean you go to hell and a nasty little thing pokes you in the ass with a pitchfork. It doesn't mean that. It just means, you know, I think the idea, right, of Barley visiting Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, he's not in hell, but he is dragging around the burden of what he didn't work through.
Yeah.
And we're very lucky that we're allowed the opportunity to come back and try again. Again and again and again until we get it right. But but still, it gets a little harder if you don't, you know, if you don't work through it, it gets worse the next time. So some point you have to do the work. And I think the work is great. I love the work. Look, are there days where I'm tired and exhausted, think, oh, my God, life is a lot? Sure, we all have those days. But I think the lessons you have to learn, the work you have to do, and the challenge of it is actually very exciting. But I just like to work in general, in a spiritual way and in an earthbound way. I'm a worker. But if you are here to be lazy, then you better hope you have a life where your lesson is you get to kick back and be lazy this time. And a lot of wonderment and a lot of fun and a lot of beauty and a lot of great things. But it's not always going to be, why is it so hard? Why can't every relationship just be perfect? You know, why can't everyone, this is going to, you know this one, Echo. Why can't everyone I meet be the one? Well, because there's only one one. And so everyone can't be the one, or it wouldn't be the one. It would be called the all. So, you know.
That's right.
I feel like a lot of my time doing this work, and I haven't been doing it nearly as long as you have because I came out later in life, although I feel like I've always done it with friends and people that I interview, we just never called it this. Kind of rallying people to sort of, you know, pick up the baton and run the relay of their own life.
Mm-hmm.
And do the work they have to do to make the money, get the spouse, repair the friendships, whatever they're seeking, right? Walk the spiritual path.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, honey, I recently got this idea. God, I think it was just last week. I was mowing the grass. That's when I get so many. I get inspired when I mow the grass. So I was out mowing the grass, and I had this vision of a column on my website called The Higher Perspective. And so what I want to do is encourage people to send me a paragraph of, you know, the kind of hell they're going through right now, and let's try to look at it from the highest perspective possible to see why the universe thought it was a good idea that they go through this particular situation. And I'm really excited about it. Yeah, honey. It's like, okay, come on. I mean, that's what the guides have been saying, too, is that God looks at everything from a higher perspective, not, oh, poor you, but, oh, my gosh, look what you get to learn, you know, that kind of thing. And that's
exactly right. Look at how lucky you are that I gave you We gave you life lessons to learn. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Yes, honey. Yes. Really. I mean,
be excited about doing the work. It's all about being excited about doing the work and enjoying the victories, right? Enjoy the things in your life that are going great. Live in a glass half full perspective, not always complaining about what hasn't happened, but being so thankful for what has. Because, and I tell clients this all the time, right? If you're looking for reasons that your life sucks, you'll find them.
Oh, yes.
But why that? There's a reason to look for that. Look for reasons why your life is amazing, and you'll find that too.
I know. Yes, I'm hoping that, you know, that's another thing the angel said to me is that Earth has a victim consciousness, and that we have to pull ourselves up higher and look at things from a higher perspective. Why would my soul have wanted to have that experience instead of always feeling like a victim? And then that goes back to the whole thing with God and what people believe about God and. We could go on forever talking about this stuff. So,
sure.
It's good to talk about it. Yeah, it is good that we're talking about this stuff because, I don't know, you know, I want people to enjoy their life instead of dread it so much or go through their whole life feeling like a victim. It's like, no. So that's what's important now is, just trying to steer people up a little higher in the way they think about things. Yeah.
I 100% agree. Isn't it interesting how people, just like the talk going back to your book, right? Echo, how people want to think everything not of this earth is coming to kill us.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Oh, it must, evil is evil. Everything's evil. And again, I will say again, if you're looking for things in the world that are not of the light, you will find them. Don't look
yes,
for them.
Will.
But everything
that's right.
you encounter is not coming to eat your soul. But if you think like that and you're putting that out there, then guess what you're attracting? You know, I mean, it's, and then
oh
I think in
God.
The paranormal community, I love my paranormal community, but then in the paranormal
yes.
community with the, you know, oh, I just want to see a demon and I want to be where there's a demon and boy, that's dumb.
God, is that ever dumb? Why would somebody want that?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. I want to go to this place, but I only want to go where there's a demon. Okay. Wow. You know?
Just go to the
how
movies
evil
for
can
God's sake.
Exactly.
Exactly. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Come over here. I'll see neighbors. Then you'll know evil.
Oh, man.
It's not usually the lady who calls the city if my grass gets longer than 2 inches. It's just like seeing a demon in a haunted house.
oh, my God.
You know, it's so odd to me that we're so focused on that, and it's something I think humanity really needs to work on.
Yeah, I do, too. I do, too, honey. It's crazy.
Yeah. Are you finding... have you found in your life that there's been pushback with that idea? Is that what inspired the book of people fearing what's not of the earth?
Yes, yes. People, well, and I mean, look at the TV shows and the movies. They're always about scaring people. And I understand, yes, it's fun to get scared once in a while. But, I mean, let's be realistic. So I just, like, no, I want to make this real. I want to make this stuff real for people. Ghosts are people, and
right.
they have their issues, and you too. The name of the book is How to Live a Happily Ever After Life. And people can have a happily ever after life instead of thinking they're
sure.
going to go to hell, and there is no such thing as heaven. And people that are terrified of change, it's like, oh, my God, come on, people. So, yeah, I guess that's what you and I are doing tonight. We're hopefully waking people up. Just waking them up. Come on, wake up. Wake up. That's what I
want
to do.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? Where can they get the book? And will you come back and do this with me again? Because I'd love it.
Oh, honey, we have so much fun together. We always do. I love doing your show.
Let's do this on a regular basis. We'll pick a thing to talk about every time.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Yes,
that would
good.
Be really fun. We should. All right, let's put it on the, I was going to say the back burner, but let's put it on the front burner so we don't forget. And then where can
nice.
We find the book? You know what, honey, the book, has hit all the stores as of August 1st. And, of course, gosh, I asked my publisher last week how pre-sales are going, and he said they've already, 2,000 books have already gone out of the warehouse, and he said Amazon have already put in a second order for it. So people can order it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, anywhere really. I'm pretty excited about it. So, how to live happily ever after life. Definitely check it out because I think people really enjoy it. Forward by our darling Chip Cox.
Who we love. I love him and I love you and I love that you love each other.
Yes, we do love each other. He calls me
Thank
Echo
you.
Freaking Odin. Yeah. There you go.
Thank you for being here with me, my friend. I adore you, and let's do this again soon.
Okay, sweetheart. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. The wonderful Echo Bodine, everybody. If you missed those links, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. That's how you can find me for all of your spiritual psychic needs and all of my information on radio shows, my talk show, video stuff, whatever I'm doing, it's all there, SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. or find me everywhere on social media. I'm just at Sheena Metal. Until I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace unity, always raise your vibration, and remember that you are loved and you are loved. I'm Sheena Metal. I'll see you next week. You take care of you. We're here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. It's Raising the Vibration on LiveParanormal.com and iHeartRadio.com.